Ghosts. Have they become a cliché? Or can we once again examine this phenomena seriously? After all, isn't it really our own afterlife we're curious about? Let's delve a little deeper on Jim Harold's Ghost Insight. Welcome to Ghost Insight. I am Jim Harold and so glad to be with you. And here is an interview I did a couple of months ago with a very interesting guest, and the subject was paranormal pets. But before we get started, I wanted to give you all of the updates around the Spooky Studio. It's been an extremely busy time. The shows, in terms of the free shows, have their biggest downloads ever. So we're so excited about that. And thanks to each and every one out there who is listening to this, and really appreciate all your support spreading the word. Our Facebook Plus group, specifically for people like you who are Plus members, my favorite people who listen to the shows, is growing. And now we've put a new thing out there on that Facebook Plus group. And the nice thing is this. Every day I am tweeting out, I guess that's the wrong term since it's Facebook, but I'm pushing out updates, 4 updates a day about classic shows that are only available now through the Plus Club. Because what I think one of the tough things about the Plus Club is that you literally have over 1,200 shows. And especially if you're new and you've just started tuning in, it's a little overwhelming. And a lot of times I'll get emails or messages on social media. Hey, have you done a show on this subject or that subject or with this guest or that guest? And the truth is I have, but it's been several hundred shows ago and I've forgotten what episode it is and those kind of things. So this is a nice way to kind of resurface all that classic content, the over 1,200 podcasts in the Plus Club. Also, all those webinars that people forget about, and we're working on one. I'm waiting on a confirmation for a very cool one, hopefully coming up for September, October, or October and November. Really hoping to get that nailed down soon. But the point is, this is a way, through that Facebook group, if you're a member of it, and it comes with your membership, that you can kind of discover some of the classic content of the Paranormal Plus Club. Now, if you're not a member of that, now it is something that you need approval for because I'm trying to keep it to just Plus Club members like you. Easiest way to find that group, just go to jimharold.net. And if you're on desktop, for example, on the right-hand side, you'll see Facebook Plus Group. Click on that. If you've not already been invited, and everybody who's signed up the last few months has been invited, but and everybody's had an email sent out to them, but if for some reason you've slipped through the cracks, just click on that button, go to the Facebook group if you're on Facebook, request membership, and I will promptly approve you, and then you'll get all those cool updates. Plus, there's the fellowship of other Plus members. I think it's a nice dimension and something that adds to the Plus Club, which I thank you for being a part of, and thank you for joining. Now, I don't want to be too long-winded. I just wanted to give you that update. We don't do this much on the shows, so I thought I would tell you about that news. So much more. Campfire 5 is coming up. We've got the adult coloring book based on Campfire already out, so lots of stuff for the Halloween season. Very exciting stuff. And very exciting, our subject today, paranormal pets. And here's the show. Over the 11 years we've been doing the show, this is one topic I don't think we've covered enough. And that's the idea of paranormal pets. But we have an expert in the subject with us today, and we're going to talk about it. And she has her own podcast, a radio show. I'm talking about Dr. Brandi Stark. She's had an interest in the paranormal and the world of ghosts since childhood. During her college, graduate, and postgraduate studies, she has compiled and presented multiple papers on the role of ghosts in Western religions, dating from the Mesopotamian epic of Gilgamesh through to modern times. And she continues to research the role of ghosts in popular culture as expressed through modern humanities. She's been a popular interview subject in the media and has been featured on the nationally broadcast Coast to Coast AM. She's a regular guest on Entertainment and the Arts on WTAN 1340, which I believe is in the Tampa Bay area. Her paranormal websites have also won multiple awards. In addition, she teaches classes in both religions and the humanities at several local colleges and universities in the Tampa Bay area. She's also an artist whose award-winning hand-wrapped
wire metal, and found object statues have been shown internationally. A Renaissance woman, and we're so glad to have her on the show, Dr. Brandi Stark. Welcome.
Thank you, and wow, what a welcome that is.
Well, hey, you did it, not me. I just read it. So how did you get interested in the area of, I mean, a lot of us are interested in the paranormal in general, but why paranormal pets? How did that happen for you?
It's been kind of a long-running interest that I've had. I'm fortunate because I am an academic, so I have lots of access to literature. But as a paranormalist, and perhaps with the academic background, folks will come up and they'll tell me their experiences. And this actually all started because I'm a huge animal lover. I love pets. I do a lot of rescue work, Pug Rescue of Florida, and I do a kind of a my own little pocket pet rescue. And in about 2004, I came up with this theory that pugs, as a breed, they have no purpose. They are very unusual. They are basically companions. Foot warmers and flea attractors. When people had fleas, they would hold the pugs, and the pugs are sweeter than the people, and the fleas would transfer. So I came up with this theory that because they are such an artificial breed, and I have grown up with pugs, I'm a third generation Stark with a pug, that essentially they would not really have any abilities like perhaps their wilder counterparts at sensing any form of ghosts. So I posted this little essay and tentatively titled the page the Paranormal Pugs page, and lo and behold, people began to email me. And not only were they emailing me stories about their pugs sensing something, but I started getting stories of pugs as the ghost. I thought, okay. So I ended up changing my essay. My initial introduction got a little bit more revamped. And the page went up, and I just started getting entry after entry after entry. And then I started getting people who would email me, and they would say, you know, my doxy just died, but I saw your page, and I'm just so relieved because this really means something to me. It means that my little doxy might have something on the other side. So from there, I started doing additional research. So we definitely know that animals are associated with the paranormal going at least back to the Greco-Roman era, where we do have accounts of cattle, sheep, and dogs, of course, sensing the supernatural. And then I started finding kind of these odd stories here and there about animal ghost stories, cats, and a lot of these tied to kind of the Middle Ages and the fear of witchcraft and things along those lines. So we're talking somewhat familiar-based animals. But, you know, cats, rats, dogs, you know, these creatures that would just vanish. And, of course, you have the one-eyed Angus, and you have folklore, and it just kind of really began to expand from there. And it's just been a really fascinating venue.
Now, I think when we talk about paranormal pets, I think most people would think about dogs, for example. But I'm assuming this extends beyond just our canine friends.
You're quite correct. Usually when we're talking about humanities, literature, folklore, and culture, dogs are associated as what are called liminal state beings. They're separators of the worlds. So you'll have, with the Greeks, the three-headed dog that guards Hades. In Zoroastrian religion, there's a bridge that connects from earth to heaven, and it's guarded by dogs. Celtic folk would bury dogs with their recently deceased. So dogs kind of are supposed to have this supernatural sense. And unfortunately, there's a little bit of a grimness to it, that because they smell the dead, and because they can be scavengers, they consume the dead, that they are associated with death. So dogs have that kind of unusual element, but we're talking cats, you know, cats sensing the supernatural. Now, when we talk about symbolism, we're talking cats more along the lines of sorcery, coming through Egypt, associated with the moon and femininity. To the extent, unfortunately, that by the time we get down to the Nordic cultures, and the cats are associated with Freya, fertility as well, that the Christian church actually does associate them in connection also with Egypt as, unfortunately, demonic. And so cats are actually executed for a time, which, ironically enough, helped to bring in the bubonic plague, which was not spread by rats, thank you, as a very proud rat owner, but by gerbils, most likely. And also saddled with the mnemonic. So you've got cats who are sorceress, dogs who are guardians, if you will, and then horses who are very often, you know, they can sense the dead. Cattle and sheep, herding animals, which I've always found very interesting because I think when you look at these animals, sometimes they will be very enigmatic and you have no idea what they are doing or why they're doing it. And so sometimes it might be interesting to kind of associate it with the supernatural, that they have this heightened sense because they're part of the world and they're closer to the world than we are, as in a nature-based element. Humans, we don't survive well in nature. We have to adapt with tools, whereas depending on the animal and depending on the circumstance, animals tend to adapt better. So I even have a page up on paranormal pocket pets. People have sent me a few little stories about squirrels from Squirrel Rescue, rats. And I do not really see ghosts, I'm happy to say. Maybe I'm not happy to say, but I don't see them. I'm not that kind of person. But I will say there was one rat who, by golly, and the week after he died, I swear I saw him twice. And that was really strange. So I made note of that and put it up on the page. But rats, unfortunately, do become associated in part because of their connection, unfortunately false, but with the demonic. So they become kind of this familiar-based item. But I get reports of all sorts of things, and it's really fascinating. Now, of course, here we are in the West, so most often the reports I'm getting are cats and dogs. But every now and again, I do get a couple other things that trickle through.
Do you believe that pets have souls? Animals have souls?
Now, personally, yes, I absolutely do. I find it fairly interesting because what happens in the West is, of course, we're based with the Abrahamic scripture in which God blows breath into Adam, creates the soul in humankind. But if you look at other religions, the indigenous religions, oftentimes animals are actually higher on a spiritual plane because, again, they're connected with nature. Hinduism, the animals have the Atman, right, that incarnates and can become human, or humans can become animal. Even Buddhism has the realm of the animals, which, and I love this, because if your karma and your wisdom aren't quite there, you can incarnate down into the level of the animals, which are more instinctually driven. But if you weren't as bad as others, if you have a little bit of better karma, you might come back as somebody's pet and thereby have a better life, which I always thought was awesome. I'm like, all right, that's the goal there. But yes, I do. I think they have an awareness and a consciousness. Western science at present, I believe, is beginning to catch up on this. We're starting to see more reports of rats who have empathy and animals who mourn the death of a mate. So the more that we can associate with a consciousness, a mindset, then yes, the more I think that it's going to begin to evolve into the notion of an animal having a spiritual consciousness.
Which of the pets are the most paranormal? I mean, do we see more of this with dogs, more of this with cats, with lemurs? I don't know.
That would be awesome. Actually, what I find really fascinating is, again, the most often reported animal for me are the dogs, followed very closely by cats. It's usually, it's this odd rule of thumb that kind of comes through belief, essentially, kind of rumor, folklore, and belief. But the idea is that dogs will come back for a period of about a year or so. And usually the stories I get are manifestations of you'll hear the toenails clicking, you'll hear the jingling of the collar, even sometimes slurping of water, which is really interesting. And one of my favorites was just reported, and this is not even on paranormal pets yet, but this woman had a dog that was losing continence and, eventually had unfortunately reached the point of needing to be put to sleep. But this dog had this very unique ability of meandering and urinating at the same time. And she said the night after this dog passed away, she had her other dog on the bed. And, you know, everything was cleaned up and, you know, she was still kind of in shock and in mourning. But she had gotten up in the middle of the night. And she stepped in a little pool, and she looked down, and there was this little meandering pattern of water that was not there when she went to bed. And apparently it did smell like urine, and she had no explanation for it because she had the other dog up with her. And I thought, well, mine had better not do that. That's not going to happen here. Cats tend to show up for about 6 months and then go on. However, what I find really cool is that the cats that I get reports of, and it's kind of hard to explain, but there are several cats that seem to have lasted for decades. Rather than going on after 6 months and crossing over to the other side, these are reports from a cat from 20 years ago. In fact, I investigated one that was down by the Gulfport Casino that's still rumored to come in, and there's a hotel in which this cat spirit goes in, and this cat's been dead for, 10 years. So, what do we do with those? And usually cats, you can tell because the reports are they'll leave like a warm indent in your bed, because that's what cats do. They've been sleeping. Or you'll feel something brush up against you, and it's kind of like a cat weaving around your legs. And I actually have been on a couple of cases where, indeed, I have actually felt that. Now, I try to rule out suggestion, and usually when I do cases, I'm what's called the contact. So I've got some background. I do try to bring in neutral people who don't mm-hmm. have that background. But it's still interesting when it happens, because I really fully go in thinking nothing will happen, that this will be an urban legend. So it's exciting.
Now, one thing that's always fascinated me is this idea that a pet will come to say goodbye. And I've had several reports of that on my campfire program where we share paranormal stories in general, and a few have been about pets. And I've had reports of, hearing the collar rattle, even though the collar is put somewhere on the shelf after the dog's passed away, or feeling something beside you in the bed and reaching to pet it and then realizing the dog is gone. I mean, are these the kind of themes that you hear that pets will come back to say goodbye to their owners?
Yes, and actually, I've been theorizing a little bit about it. Now, mind you, again, theory, but I think that pets today are in a fairly unique place. I think because the world is as it is, and it's somewhat chaotic. I mean, it's not that life has not always been chaotic to one extent or another, but things are really chaotic these days. I mean, we've got instant knowledge, instant expectation, instant response. As a professor, let me tell you, man, if you don't get back to those emails within 24 hours, you're out, So it's this idea that we have to constantly communicate, and even today, I think we're constantly being judged, and yet we come home to animals, and they're accepting. And I think that, actually, I don't just think. I mean, there are studies and research pieces that are coming out now, even casually in newspapers. But the pet industry has exploded recently. I mean, people are spending more on veterinarian care. They're spending more on products. I know I certainly am. And so pets have taken this place. And I think there's a couple of different options here. Either it's very Freudian, he writes in Melancholia that it's grief that we project to create a ghost, and so perhaps the owner, missing this animal is projecting this entity. Now, personally, I think that's a rarity. I don't think that's really it. I'm not a huge Freud fan in that one, but, the second choice is that these animals do not have to sustain themselves. We sustain them. So they are not out hunting. They're not out, surviving. They live pretty decent lives for the most part. So I'm wondering if this is giving them a greater ability to also come up with their own self-awareness, plus a very strong association with humans. And we do know that animal-human relationships are definitely impactful on both levels. Humans actually produce hormones in their brains that are similar to looking at babies when they look at their dog. And particularly in the eyes. I mean, these studies have come out. Whereas dogs are very much pack animals, and going back to the Neolithic era, there are new theories coming out that we actually mutually tamed each other into a new society with the notion of pack structure and loyalty. So it's kind of it's an interesting mix. Now, I love your collar story because folks will say, well, I don't understand why the collar is on the shelf. But right. We have the same issue with living ghosts. If living ghosts of humans, or excuse me, I shouldn't say that, if ghosts of the humans, there we go, if human ghosts show up, why are they dressed, right? And who picks out the outfit? So, I find that kind of an interesting correlation that animals also associate with what they wear. And I think the jingling of the collar is something that not only do we identify with, but certainly they do. So it's part of their self-awareness.
Ironically, my dogs were barking, so I had to hit my mute button.
Oh, no. Actually, I believe it or not, I have a, it's called a grumble. I have a grumble of pugs. I'm a hardcore pug person. And right now, they're all sleeping, and I'm just praying.
Yes, they're all nice and quiet, unlike my dogs, who love to bark.
Well, for now.
For now. Hopefully, I hit the mute button in time. But nevertheless, another thing that's always interested me is the idea that animals can sense danger and maybe warn of danger. Do you have any of those stories in your annals?
Actually, yes. I get those quite a bit. But there are a couple of oddly personal ones that I have. This was actually when I first started doing paranormal investigation, and I, you know, was still a young college student back in the day. But I had put my pugs out, and I had come in to get some green tea, and I heard them, and they were on the porch, and they were making this horrible noise that's not a noise of anything that I've ever associated with a pug. And I'm thinking, what? You know, somebody's hurt. I've got my tea in my hand. I'm shuffling across the living room to get back to the porch. And all of a sudden, I froze because in the middle of the living room was this white spiral of smoke. And it was one of those awareness moments where I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, it's 9:30 in the morning. This isn't quite normal. Your mind snaps and you're looking at the fan and you're like, the fan is on and the smoke is not moving. And, it's very quick, thoughts that are popping through. And the third thought was, you know what, if your house is on fire and you are staring at this plume of smoke, wondering if it's a ghost and you die here, that's going to be really stupid. So I was young. That is a thought. So I looked away because I needed to go and see what the pugs were doing, and they got quiet. And the second I looked back, this little plume was gone. I have no idea what it was, what it was doing. The only thing I can tell you is it was a very white color, and it almost looked like incense smoke, but it wasn't moving. So I have no idea on that. I was also in my early 20s. I do not drink. I've always abstained from anything along those lines because I believe the mind is a very powerful tool, and I'm not going to cloud it. And green tea is green tea. So, it was just the most bizarre thing. On occasion, depending on the case, I have taken a pair of my pugs named Odysseus and Achilles, appropriately, on cases that I know where the vet is, I know that it's a safe spot, I have permission of the business or the owner, and I know it's not a hostile entity. I mean, I have a checklist. And these boys have actually, they're clowns, they love the attention, they have a great time, but several times they've actually stopped. Paused, looked at something, I've taken a picture and gotten a result. The most telling case was actually at a veterinarian clinic, but I cannot release the information because I'm mindful of what the owners want. And they, obviously as a business, they didn't want anything released, but I'll be darned if they didn't do that. And I had a door open in front of me. It was great. And I caught it on video and everything. So yes, I think animals, there's kind of a mixed bag here. One thing is they might not be like humans. My experience with that little puff of smoke or whatever that thing was, that entity, potential entity, my mind started reasoning and trying to explain this away. There is one theory that perhaps animals, while they do have reason, that's not their first response, that they are going to respond naturally. Or that perhaps, again, even the indigenous cultures are very good about noting this. They survive better in nature because they have better senses than we do. So cats are associated with sorcery because of their supernatural ability to see in the dark. They see in one-tenth the amount of light that we do. So, it could also be that they simply have a better awareness through their senses. But I have told people that if all of my pugs decide to line up and they all want to go out the door, I will follow them. And if that ever happens, that does mean a hardcore disaster is coming.
Do you believe that pets have a form of telepathy? I know there have been many times when I've been thinking something and one of my dogs will look at me and it's like, he knows exactly what I'm thinking. Is that just my mind or am I onto something?
That's a really good question that deals with some of the psychic notion of human to pet interaction. And I have actually interviewed pet psychics, particularly for paranormal pets. And it is kind of interesting because, and I've had friends who have had psychics come in and read their animals, and they do seem to cite that there is something going on here, that the psychic is indeed correct. The biggest issue that I have is that, again, it's very hard to prove. You know, I love my pugs, but while they do communicate with each other, and there is no question, one thing that does set us apart is the ability of language. So I adore them, but I can't say, what is your greater concept of God? Or can you tell me why you're sick? You know, that doesn't happen. So sometimes I do think that, indeed, they're very in tune with us, maybe even to the level of an intuition or an empathy, which I do think is certainly there. And perhaps they're much more aware of our behavior than we are because they study us. But for telepathy purposes, I'm not quite sure which way to go with that yet. I would like to see a little more research come out on that at this point.
In terms of favorite stories, do you have a couple of your favorite paranormal pet stories that you could share with us?
Sure. And in fact, there is one thing that we didn't quite touch on yet, and this is kind of a rising new thing, and it's called the shadow animal.
Ooh.
I don't know if we're planning to talk about it, but I thought I'd bring it in. Okay. Shadow animals are fascinating creatures because what they are these, you don't see them fully. You'll see a piece of them, usually the top, the back of the head, the top of the legs, but you don't see a face or you'll see a shape. And usually when they are seen by humans, they are in a rush. They're running. They scatter. Or there's a sense of animosity, fear. Now, again, I don't know if that's coming from the animal or if that's coming from the person, because if you see a shadow animal, I'm sure it's kind of startling. But some of my favorite stories are actually coming from that genre. I started really researching it about 4 years ago. I do have a shadow animals page. But and again, it is stories. Right now it's comprised of stories, and I have done some interviews with people who study shadow people. And I'm trying to kind of correlate some of these similarities. But one of my favorites is, again, this is a personal experience, and then I'll dig up one that that I've enjoyed. But I have had this, we were doing an investigation. I had my infrared camera. It was a Sony night shot. And this was so long ago. These were the cameras that you had to be really careful with because they eventually ended up getting recalled because they were so sensitive that they could see through clothing. And I had a lot of women on my team, and you and myself included, so unfortunately you would occasionally see bra straps through the shirts with this camera. So I was very careful on where I aimed it. And we were doing this investigation, and I had the camera aimed towards the bathroom of this master bedroom area where all of this activity was going on because the peripheral was where my investigators were, and I thought I could do this. Okay. And all of a sudden, this thing comes lumbering out, and it was very quick. And I thought it was running right at me, and I actually dropped my camera and stepped to the side, and there was nothing there. And this is kind of where this shadow animal idea started to come from, because later on, there was nothing on the camera, which was very disappointing. The camera did not break, which was very delightful, but I kind of stored that away, and I thought, yeah, okay, maybe you're tired. I mean, who knows? There's no reports of this going on anywhere. But later on, I started having people come and tell me things like, well, I was in the bedroom, and there are these things that move around, and all of a sudden I saw these two shadows, and they kind of look like cats, but they weren't cats. They were bigger than cats. And they shot down the stairwell and right through a wall, and they were gone. Or, you know, I was walking into this room, and I swear there were these little dark blobs on the floor, and they were moving around, and I looked at them very carefully, and the second I turned on the light, I swear they scattered. They just disappeared. And these are kind of the stories that I start getting. They apparently can be as small as mice to as large as a cow. That is
wow.
Kind of a wide variety. I had one person who emailed that he had seen this ape-like creature, and he was from a foreign country, and again, not knowing any background on this individual, but he said he was completely startled because there's nothing like this, you know, in his country's history or heritage, and he was very afraid to post anything, but they were so startled because it was, again, very large, very ominous and moving very quickly. But he has no doubt, you know, that he saw this creature. So these are kind of some of the stories that have started coming forth. And even more interesting is that they have branched into white shadow creatures. Cats have shown up, dogs as well, but I actually have another page that includes deer-like creatures, rabbit-like creatures, raccoon-like creatures. So what are these, right? My theory is that they are perhaps animals who have passed away, who are crossing to the other side. Perhaps that's their hurry, that maybe these are the wild animals that are out there crossing over, or the feral cats, or the wild dogs, and that this is how they're manifesting. Because if you think about it, what has pre-existed humankind? It's always been animals in nature.
Sure.
So how come there aren't more animal stories? How come I'm not hearing, you know, about haunted slaughterhouses, or, you know, the haunted circus where, you know, things burn down and the animals are still heard? We don't get a lot of those stories. So is it that there's a simpler crossing over mechanism for these, that they're not as bogged down as we are, and they just kind of shoot right on over, and who knows what happens after that? They incarnate, they have an afterlife, you know, whatever it is that you think might happen.
Do you still get surprised by things you hear about paranormal pets?
I do. The urine story most recently was one of the biggest surprises, in part because I've never come across one like that. Nobody has actually said, you know, this animal has left this trail behind, and when I cleaned it up, it was urine. But on occasion, yes. Sometimes, though, I do find some patterns. You know, again, the pet that has just passed that seems to come back, you know, the animal that senses somebody who's passed, you know, those seem to be the standards. But I always welcome new stories. You know, it just, my true hope is that whatever has happened to the animal, that it is for the most part peaceful. And a lot of these stories seem to be, particularly with pets, it is a peaceful resolution. The owner may be startled, the person who sees the shadow animal may be startled, but that it does resolve. The owner feels better, or the person who sees the shadow animal, it goes away. You know, it's a one-time event, maybe two or three, but it's nothing that they're consistently haunted by.
If people want to get in touch, listen to, I know you have your own podcast, and if they want to get in touch, listen to that, share their own stories, where would they go on the net?
Well, there are a few different sources. You can check petliferadio.com. It is a huge compilation of all sorts of animal-based shows. Mine is Paranormal Pets, so it's usually right in the middle of the page, and you'll see the podcasts. I do have, you can actually Google Paranormal Pugs page, and this is through Homestead. So again, if you do go to see this page, don't laugh at it because it's really old, but it's really hard to rearrange these things these days. It's like a very interesting process. But the Paranormal Pugs page is up. The Shadow Animals page is also through Homestead. It's a little more organized, but you can find that. And again, I Google Shadow Animals plus Homestead.com. So, you know, if they would like to email me, you're more than welcome. Actually, most of these places do have an email link, but I will also give you an email, which is tbspirits, as in Tampa Bay Spirits, all one word, at netscape.net.
Well, it's been a fascinating discussion about a long-neglected topic on this program.
Well, thank you for having me. This was delightful.
That was a lot of fun, and I thank you so much for tuning in to The Other Side. Don't forget to check out that Plus Facebook group for Plus members only. I think that you'll like it. And you can find the link over at jimherald.net. Thank you for being a Plus Club member. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.